What is up, guys? Welcome back to Wrestling Crossroads. We do sincerely apologize that we are getting this to you super late. Unfortunately, scheduling conflicts came in the way.
We had a lot going on.
And as you guys know, we don't ever put anything out this late. If anything comes out like late, it's a day or two, and we don't mean to ever do this to you guys. We still thank you for all the love and support that you give to us.
We appreciate your patience.
Immensely. So jumping right into our normalcy, I am one half of the dynamic duo, Twisted, alongside Brother Pyro.
What's up, y'all? Today we talk Full Gear.
Today we talk recap of Full Gear, yes. As we've already known, Full Gear is done, over with, and we've already had our first episode of Dynamite, unfortunately.
Again, sorry. Also, happy holidays.
All right. Do you just want to run us through the
real quick, 0 hour results? Best Friends picked up the win. Ricky Starks picked up the win to move on in the world title eliminator tournament. He takes on Ethan Page for a right to face your champion at Winter is Coming. And Eddie Kingston wins again. Thank you, Twisted, for once again being his good luck charm, because apparently every time you pick him, he takes home a dub.
You know what? I think next time I'm just going to pick him to lose, no matter who he goes against, just to see if it works that way.
And I will laugh if he ends up losing again. I'm going to laugh if you pick him to lose and then he loses. I'm like, yeah, no, you are just...
I'm jinxed to Eddie Kingston, apparently.
You will forever be 100% tied to Eddie Kingston. But enough about the 0 hour. Let's jump into the main card, kicking off the show. Steel cage match. Best Friends turned bitter enemies. Jungle Boy Jack Perry taking on Luchasaurus.
I was a little shocked to find that the rules for this steel cage match was a lot different than what we expect in WWE.
I do too. I was really shocked and surprised. I also just really enjoyed it though.
I did too. Nothing against it's something, the it was work something that the men different. Did. I got really confused because all of a sudden I see Jungle Boy getting out of the cage and I'm like, hey, so he won? No bell? All right, cool. We'll just continue with the match. Let's go. But, I mean, Jungle Boy got broken open pretty early in the match. And it served him kind of well throughout it.
Oh, yeah. It's funny that Desario and I were talking and we noticed something about his gear. Mm-hmm. Very HBK-esque.
Yes. I do agree.
Picking up the win was Jungle Boy in one hell fought victory,
yeah.
Fought his ass off to get that.
He deserved that win, oh, yeah. Especially after what Luchasaurus and Christian Cage have been putting him through.
Oh, yeah. Granted, I don't.
Sister afterwards. Oh, yeah.
That emotional moment with the family was the cherry on top of the ice cream sundae that was his victory. I don't think that this was the blow off to that feud, because I think we will conclude with one more Christian Cage versus
Jungle Boy match.
Jungle Boy match at some point down the future once Christian is no longer injured.
I was actually just going to ask you the same question. Do you see this being the ending, or do you see another couple matches
coming? I see one or two matches coming. Again, final blow off Christian versus Jungle Boy.
Yes, that's gotta be the end.
Concludes it, because you can't have the rivalry start with them two and not end it with them two.
I mean, it would kind of be a little bit more of a sweet taste of karma if there was another battle royal that they were to go into and Jungle Boy eliminates him again, thus setting up the next like final match. It would be absolutely beautiful.
Oh, that would be great. That would be a really great way to just, you know, even if not to how it started and you know remind us of why Christian is so bitter right now.
And I mean, my personal opinion, I know you may not agree with me, but I'd like to even see it with a title on the line.
Eh.
Again, I knew you were not always going
to
agree with me.
If there is going to be a title on the line at some point, it'll have to be the TNT title, because mm-hmm. I love Jungle Boy. He's
not there yet.
I don't think he will ever really be main event guy, upper mid card for sure.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the talent. I think he needs to find just a little more personality right now. Because think about it this way, and Desario and I were talking about this as well
mm-hmm.
during the match. he's never really had to have the personality.
No.
The Jungle Express came in, it was him, Luchasaurus, and Marco Stunt. Marco Stunt was the personality of the group.
Yes.
You replace Marco Stunt with Christian. Christian was the personality of the group. Mm-hmm. You break them up.
You really have nothing to give Jungle Boy at this
except
point.
Except for the in-ring talent.
All right. Well, maybe if he gets a little bit more personality.
TNT title, definitely. Which, again, I can see him holding. But I prefer for no title to really be on the line. I think it just would make the story make a lot more sense and make it feel a lot more completed that way. All right, take us into match number two of the night.
AEW Trios Tag Titles on the line. The Elite taking on the defending champions, Death Triangle. Now, there was a lot to just break down when it came to this match. I know we're not going to get super in-depth to it, but there was a lot of times where I think the refs actually made very good calls, shockingly.
Oh,
hey, this man's not legally. Even
I think
they
that was one
that
of.
Before.
I think that is one of the best ref tag team matches I have seen in AEW. Just because, like, that ref was consistent with ruling and, you know, actually making sure he knew what was going on.
Did that ref come from a WWE training school or an AEW training school? I just really like to know.
I don't know, but I know he did a great job, and that is one thing. I'm just really glad we got to see the Elite back. The way they came back, by the way, I absolutely loved that entrance, and I need to talk about it, because, oh my god, like, the Titantron, you know, phrase after phrase after phrase, and then the, like, in the perfect intro to the song, Carry On My Wayward Son, which, for the record, will not be just a one-time thing. They're not going to use it regularly, but it will make an appearance again.
High-stakes matches.
Yeah, more or less high-stake matches. So thank you for that. It's funny, Desario looked at me and he was like, why do I expect to see a dying Winchester at some point on my screen now? And I was like, if that point, had they come out with any of the cast of Supernatural, I'd need that victory, because it'd just be too great not to make it happen.
It was absolutely beautiful. So me, Flash, and Panda, as you've heard her on our WWE podcast, more or less, like our WWE shows, we were all watching, and it started playing, and they both looked at the TV, as Pyro, you know, they are Supernatural fans.
Yes.
So I had to turn up the TV, and they just started, like, geeking.
Oh my god.
It was beautiful.
If you were to ask Desario, I did the same thing. I popped so damn hard when I heard it, and then the Pyro that came
with it,
like, at the perfect end, like, timing of the like, break real quick.
Yep.
Oh my god, that entrance could not have been any more perfect. I want to see it again. Again, welcome back, Elite, to a company that you should not have been suspended from. Going into a match for titles they should not have had taken away from them.
I mean, we're not going to get into the whole controversy of that. If we did, then we'd be here for hours. However, picking up the win was Death Triangle.
Very controversial.
And now we have a best of seven series that was announced after the pay-per-view.
It was announced midway through the pay-per-view.
And now we have a
best of seven series, which I am 100% golden with. Shut up, take my money, because these six men put on magic. I want to point out that the way they picked up the win was that use of the hammer, and you can tell Rey Fénix wanted nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
He did it, but, you know, he was definitely like, this is not how I wanted to win.
Oh, yeah, no. Which he was yelling at Pac afterwards, yeah.
Which definitely is what led to this best of seven series. Hopefully the Elite
pick it up. Do you see it at the end, the Elite?
I definitely see the Elite picking it up, and part of me is wondering how much influence these guys had on making it a best of seven series instead of a one-off. Because...
Mm-hmm. Who knows? I guess we'll have to see as it kind of continues on. Do you want to take us through the next match?
I will. This is probably the match I would have started the show with, by the way. TBS title, Jade Cargill defends against the self-proclaimed champion, Nyla Rose. This match was sloppy.
Very.
This match was absolutely sloppy. Desario and I are sitting there watching, talking, and we're just like, what are we watching? This is not okay. Like,
there were so many times where, and Flash and Panda can you know, speak for me on this. I was saying that I really hoped that this match was better than the previous ones I had seen her in, because I don't know what it is, unless it's like just the pay-per-view of like the high stakes because it's a pay-per-view. But anytime I've watched a Jade Cargo match, it has been sloppy and it has been ass.
This has got to be the sloppiest match I have ever seen her put in. And this is definitely fault of both women.
Yes.
I will say she did try to carry that match, but at the same time, like, she telegraphed everything, and it seemed like both of them were phoning it in. I do want to say I love the tribute that Vicky Guerrero gave to her late great husband Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
Upon the entrance, the low rider, the I'm Your Poppy shirt, like, I teared up a little bit, because as we know, Eddie was probably one of my favorites growing up.
Yep.
So that little nod and acknowledgement to him was amazing. Again, I expected a lot more out of these women, because I've seen them work lot.
I just think that...
And I was extremely disappointed.
I just, personally, and like always, you always correct me if I'm wrong, but with how little these women have worked in a ring, I know that, you know, Jade Cargill kind of has her winning streak, but compared to, you know, what we've watched on WWE, what I've been used to, you know, if somebody's pulling in pretty much doing the entirety of the match, pulling the match together, I don't think these women have enough notice or like knowing of how to do that like WWE.
And my thing is, both of them are established, Jade Cargill a little less than Nyla, but both women are established. So again, it was really a surprise to see this play out the way it did.
Yes.
And it is unfortunate, because I think we were robbed of something that could have been great.
So do we do a rematch?
No.
No?
Not at all. That one time, that one and done.
It needs to be a one and done.
I'm good. I don't think I ever want to see it again. I want to erase it from my memory, if I'm being completely honest.
All right. I can totally see it. So you're entirely good there.
Picking up the win, retaining her championship, her right being the rightful champion, Jade Cargill. And now I am curious as to what is going to happen next with her.
I guess we'll just have to wait and see, right?
Go ahead and take us into the next match.
Next match, which was thankfully the thing to kind of pick up. Yes. Okay.
Actually, I'm going to take this one, because I know the match following this is something that you have been looking forward to, and I think I want to give you that moment.
Okay.
Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Championship, Chris Jericho, El Ocho, Le Champion, defending against a former Ring of Honor World Champion, Bryan Danielson, and the man he beat to win the championship, Claudio Castagnoli, as well as Jericho Appreciation Society member, Sammy Guevara. This match was great. You got to see a lot of respect amongst all of the men involved. You got to see a lot of story being told. A lot more partnership than I expected to see out of Jericho and Sammy. Okay. I figured, you know, them going into this match, like, I figured they were going to work together here and there, but like the fact that they really were just trying to help each other eliminate the other two for a good chunk of the match, to try to control the match, was great.
Would you have made this in like elimination match at all?
I think, being the Ring of Honor diehard that I am, I think this would have been I think this was the perfect way to go about the multi-man match. And obviously we saw a few mess-ups, but that's to be expected in a match like this.
Yeah.
Where you have the two bodies, you have a lot more spots and a lot more to deal with.
Thankfully all the men here know how to work with themselves and carry themselves.
And it is perfect. You saw kind of a little bit of a rift between Jericho and Sammy.
Mm-hmm.
At some point in the match.
That was more towards the end, I believe.
Overall, it was definitely one of my favorite matches of the night. Picking up the win, Jericho, and it's funny, I'm going to quote one of the guys on the commentary table. I want to say it was Shivani.
Okay.
For somebody looking to destroy and discredit Ring of Honor, Jericho sure is establishing himself as one of the greater champions of and holders of that belt and brand. Like I said, I definitely want to see a lot more come out of him, his title reign. I want to know what's going to happen with him and Guevara. I think Guevara showed that he can really hang in there with the best of them with this match.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
This was definitely a test of where you at ring-wise. Because I don't think he's really been tested.
Yes.
I don't think he's really been battle-tested or put in a position to truly solidify his talent.
I mean, aside from his reign with the TNT title.
And even then, I don't think he really... Because if you look at a lot of the names that he took on there...
There were a lot of smaller guys.
There were a lot of smaller guys. There were a lot of not really not as well-established guys as the guys that he
just had the match with.
Match with. So,
I totally agree.
I can definitely see the build and the push coming for him after him putting on such a stellar performance.
I guess we'll have to wait and see for that one. I know you're very excited.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when, you know, it comes for an underdog and they're actually proving themselves through the ranks. I know you absolutely love it.
Oh, yeah. I love seeing guys that nobody wants to give a chance to really show that, make people eat their words. Like, just him being able to, hey, you guys are doubting me and I'm going to show you why you really shouldn't. Give me my chance to shine, and
we'll see where he could take it from there.
Oh yeah. But now moving into the next match, I think is a really big emotional match. And I know, again, you were looking forward to this match.
Oh yeah, I was.
And probably more than anybody that I know.
Yes.
So I'm going to go ahead and let you have this one.
So next match up, we have Saraya taking on...
She said it right, people.
Taking on Dr. Britt Baker. Help me with it.
DMD.
This was Saraya's debut match in AEW and her first match back after 5 years with a career threatening injury.
I think they counted it at a little over 1,200 days.
Yes. 1,200 days without seeing her in the ring, formerly known in WWE as Paige, which was the last time any of us got to see her wrestle. It was very sad for see.
You definitely hate the way that went about and her being forced into retirement, because you hate to see that happen with anybody. Like, I know when it happened.
Especially
I know
so
when it
young.
Happened. Oh, yeah. She is still... She's a 17-year vet, I want to point out, and she's only, like, 31. She's in her late 20s, early 30s. Like, she's been doing this for 17 years. She comes from a lineage of wrestling, like, literally born into the business. So to see her have this moment of just being able to step in the ring again, I really does warm my heart, and I'm so happy to see it.
So looking it up real quick, she is actually 30, her birthday, and one of the reasons why I love her is because her birthday is 10 days after mine.
Okay, so
for
she
you knowing me as long as we have, obviously brother and sister, you know how much I've come to love wrestling and how much I've come to love her. When she came up to the main roster, she was the youngest reigning Divas champion.
Yeah. Like I said, so think about it. She's been doing this since she was 13. She's 30 years old. She's been doing this for 17 years.
So for her to have to give it up.
I will say this. I did love her in the WWE, but I don't think she really had a lot of truly memorable moments with the company, with the exception of her first Divas title run.
Well, I can say her second Divas title run was also very memorable in my mind because she won it on her birthday, on her 21st birthday.
And that is awesome. But like I said, I don't think she really had a big enough... She was really a big fish, small pond scenario at that point. Because
we didn't have much...
Let's be honest, at that time in the women's division, with the exception of maybe two women on the roster, that being Tamina and Natalya, nobody else was really, like, truly established. So she kind of...
I mean, making a name for herself, you had AJ Lee.
And even then, like, she wasn't, like...
She wasn't a huge vet, but at the same time, with what she had...
At that time, she was probably the biggest name in the women's division at that time.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, like I said, and again, another topic that Tesario and I talked about is, you know, name me something that she did in WWE propelled her to be, you know, that top woman, that face of the division or the company. And I don't think she really ever had that.
I mean, if we go back to early WWE, she was the first ever NXT Women's Champion. So I do say that that is something.
And even then, at that time, not a lot of people had access to that. So how many people truly are going to be able to say they can remember that?
Got to see that. I mean, anybody who was pretty much there at the center at that time.
Exactly. And that's why I'm saying she never really got the chance to truly be the face of a company like I know she can. And part of me is really hoping that she gets that with AEW. Part of me also is like, I don't know how much of this, her being cleared, is legit.
Or how long it's going to last.
I
totally agree.
So part of me did, and I did say this, part of me does wish she would have stayed retired. Just to not further her own health.
I mean, a lot of people could have said that about Danielson.
I said it about Edge. Yeah. I said it about Christian after his 90 million concussions that kept him out of in-ring action for God knows how long. Which, by the way, I'm going to divot a little bit. Yes, because I think where I'm going to divot does tie into one of the people involved in this match, Britt Baker's boyfriend Adam Cole.
Yes,
we haven't seen him since June. He came back in like August to have Fish and O'Reilly turn on the Elite, and then what happened? None of them have been seen since. Bobby Fish has been released, and Adam Cole is probably never going to wrestle again because of the severity of the concussion he had at the Forbidden Door pay per view. He is literally in the same Christian effect. And it sucks because that man is a stud.
Yeah.
And I hate that it happened. I hate seeing guys, girls, wrestlers of any kind, sports figures of any kind, be put in this situation.
I know. You hate to see it, and you hate to see anything that could have been great come to an end so early.
Like, I hate when the decision is taken out of their head.
I agree.
But circling back into the match itself, because I did have to...
You had to go on your tangent. Felt like it's been a while.
That, and I also do feel like it did tie into what the storyline was going into the match.
Well, speaking of the match, for it being her first time back in 5 years, she did a fantastic job, I will say.
You noticed the moments of ring rust, but that's going to happen when you haven't wrestled in over 1,000 days.
But even so, with just the little parts where she did kind of stumble, Britt was there and was holding her hand and was like, I'm going to take
personally,
you through
I
this.
Think
and
they
that
did,
was beautiful.
I think they did a good job of carrying each other through the match.
And then I'm going to get to the very end of this, picking up the win.
The chemistry between them is amazing.
Oh, I'd love to see it.
I want to see him run it back. Because, you know, the whole Soraya slogan is, this is my house. Really, this is Britt Baker's division with or without that title. They even acknowledged that on commentary. With or without that title, your face of the women's division, your most relevant woman, will forever be Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. So if you want to claim that this is your house, that this is your division, you have to go through her. And I think this was step one.
Yeah.
But I
need
don't
a couple more.
But I don't think you've done enough to truly take the division from her.
I guess we'll have to just like I always say, we'll have to wait and see. We'll have to see if we get the chance to run this back, if we can run it back and maybe in a tournament for a title.
Personally, I'd love to see a number one, like what they're doing with the men's world championship, the world title eliminator. I want to see them do that with the women.
Well,
because I think
Jamie Hayter will be up for anything.
Oh yeah, I think the women's division can be pretty stacked, especially if you look at what you have.
Yeah.
Especially if you look at the talent that you truly do have, if you know how to utilize it.
Well, hopefully, fingers crossed, Tony Khan will learn how to. Picking up the win was Saraya, and she did have kind of a character break moment where she hugged Britt Baker after the match.
I think that was a term of
respect.
Respect, a sharing of respect. The moment I want to talk about post-match
was when she went over by her brother,
Zach Zodiac. The fact that
they
involved him in this story for that match, him being ringside to see his little sister come out, being able to have this full circle moment for herself. And again, with their lineage.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely beautiful.
And I want to point out that at this point, I don't think there is a company that he hasn't in some which way or form shown up on at this point. He even tweeted it himself. He's appeared on WWE. He's now appeared on AEW. He's been part of Ring of Honor, New Japan. Like, he has been able to
make himself relevant in any aspect of a company.
Because of, and I think, again, just because of the lineage that they have, yes, it opens a lot of doors for them.
Would you like to see him in AEW?
I would love to see him. I would love to see him officially signed to an AEW, maybe go through their Ring of Honor division.
Okay.
Because I've been able to, like, obviously, thankfully the internet exists.
Oh, yeah.
So I've been able to use that to really familiarize myself with Zach Zodiac. He is definitely, he can definitely somebody be something.
Somebody you'd like to see more in a bigger ring.
Yes, on a bigger stage instead of having to, like, you know,
do house shows with family. There's nothing wrong with local
indie shows, which, again, nothing wrong with that. You are truly establishing yourself as a performer.
Open your wings.
But I think he can spread his wings and fly outside of the small spot that he's in.
All right, let's go into the next match. Let's get this going.
All right, TNT Championship on the line. Wardlow, Samoa Joe, and Powerhouse Hobbs. A battle of the bigs. They are all massive guys.
No. That's not what I was talking about. I'm more or less, the match was...
The match was pretty mid.
Yeah, there wasn't really much that caught my interest.
Then again, you also got to remember, you are involving three really big guys. There's not going to be a lot of flashy.
Well, it's not even just flashy. I don't need to see a ton of that. It's just,
I think it did it. I think it served its purpose and did its job. Told the story that it needed to tell.
In and out and done.
In, out, done, which is what all three men are truly about anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this, once again, served the purpose it needed to serve. Walking out of Full Gear, TNT champion, now double champion, the Samoan submission machine, Samoa Joe. I want to point out that at this point in the wrestling world, there are two Samoans by the name of Joe, double champion.
Yep. we definitely know that. I've seen the memes all week.
Yes.
Yes.
But I was not going to let that moment pass on the podcast and not bring it up. I couldn't.
Oyeve. All right, jumping into the next match. As we know, we're kind of trailing due to Pyro's beautiful rant earlier that needed to happen because it's been a while since he's blessed us with one of those. We have Darby Allin and Sting taking on Jay Lethal, and I know you love the name, say it for me.
Double J Jeff Jarrett.
I thought you were going to go through the whole thing.
Nah.
Usually you do. That's why I give it to you.
I know. Double J Jeff Jarrett. I granted this one kind of made sense. For the reason being, one, Lethal, Jarrett, and Sting are all tied via TNA's roster in the early 2000s.
Didn't we get a TNA chant going that day?
Yes. We had a TNA chant.
Yes.
At one point, and it was great.
I kind of like the way that this match started out.
I want to point out that this was a no DQ tag team match.
Was it? Because they never established that. No.
When they were making the entrances, they did, this is a no disqualification tag team match. Like, if you go back and listen to the Justin Roberts and the guys on commentary, they did bring that up.
For whatever reason, I didn't hear it. So I'm like watching this going, that's a disqualification. This isn't an no DQ match. What's going on?
They definitely announced it as no DQ, which was great. I mean,
that wasn't
beforehand. I think that was just a last minute on the fly thing. I also want to point out that another good way to tie this story up was, one, it was Friendship, Lethal trying to give Darby that warning of Sting was my friend back in Impact, and
he's gonna turn
he betrayed me, and he's gonna do the same thing to you when he no longer has a use for you. And so I think that making this the tag team match, roping in Jeff Jarrett, which is again somebody that's known Sting forever.
Years. Yep.
Also the fact that it was the last match Jarrett really had was him and Lethal versus Andrade and Ric Flair.
We're not going to talk about that.
We're not going to talk about how atrocious that match was, but I do think that like that also kind of helped rope in that story of, hey, the last time I had a match...
It was with you.
Was with you. So let's do it. Let's do it again.
So picking up the win for this one. I mean, this match was pretty nice back and forth for...
Oh my God. I think it was a really well done match.
I say this match in a scale of 1 to 10, and I mean, even if you guys like us rating these, please let us know so we can definitely try to do that in season 2. I'd give this about a 7 out of 10.
Yeah, like we, Desario and I were great, spent the night looking and grading, giving them letter grades. We gave this about a C+, B minus.
So about a 70-ish, yeah. 70 to 80. Yeah. All right. So picking up the win. Thank you, wrestling gods. You heard us, Darby Allin and Sting, and Darby was the one to pick up the win.
Oh, the coffin drop. With the coffin drop stinger
combo
was amazing.
Absolutely beautiful to end out the match. All right, take us into the next match. You were the one most excited about this. Take us.
Toni Storm defending her AEW Women's World Champion, and I can finally say that without really having to censor the word interim, because as of this past week, Thunder Rosa, due to injury and the unknowing length of time that she will continue to be out, especially because she will be undergoing surgery, has been officially stripped of the title. So in the record books, Toni Storm's title reign now officially counts as not a temporary placeholder. So she defends her Women's World Championship against a very game, very motivated, very rough and tough Jamie Hayter. And I think this match hit on all freaking cylinders.
It was beautiful. It was absolutely
You can definitely tell how much both women wanted this, how much this meant to both of them.
Oh, yeah.
I absolutely loved every second of this match. I think out of the women, the three women's matches that we got tonight, this was the best one.
This was the banger. This was absolutely beautiful. You could tell that Toni Storm, she had something to prove going into this. And
she had to prove why she was... Why she became champion and why she earned that spot.
And Jamie had to prove why this was her time.
And overall, I think, again, the match, the storytelling, the back and forth was top notch. Very few things to really nitpick at. Picking up the win and walking out of full gear. Your new AEW Women's Champion. With a little bit of assistance from Britt and the other chick that they're with. I do not remember her name right now.
That's okay. Neither do I.
Jamie Hayter. Definitely, you can tell she definitely took some pages out of Britt's playbook as, you know, friend and mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Well deserved. I think Jamie Hayter definitely deserved this. I don't think they did a good enough job to build a Toni into the spotlight. I think her losing the title will give them a chance to actually and properly build her as the star that we all know she can be.
Mm-hmm. Jumping into the second to last match, the one I am most regretting of my life, we have the AEW Tag Team Championship on the line. The Acclaimed put their titles against Swerve in Our Glory. This match had a lot that you could call out for DQs.
This match had a lot you can call out for a lot of moments.
I don't think the ref did a good enough job.
I don't think so either.
Watching everything.
No. No. Definitely not.
There was too much where, you know, there was even a point where they brought in the barricade and it was used.
Oh, yeah, definitely DQ there. Oh. There should have been a couple countouts at that point. I also want to point, I believe we got a table spot in this match.
I believe so, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe it was this match we got a table spot that wasn't needed.
No, I think that's the last match.
Was it?
Yes, the main event had the table spot.
I, for whatever reason, thought it was one of the tag team matches.
I just remember the barricade being brought into this and it not being needed. I remember that.
No.
Unfortunately, I think it did on this side.
I think it did tell a great story.
Mm-hmm.
The Acclaim's entrance was beautiful. Max Caster called out everybody on everything.
I had to replay that for Flash.
It was hilarious. About
three different times so he could laugh.
Oh, no. Laughing. It was hilarious. It was great. It was it definitely reminded me of, like, early Cena.
Oh,
Thugonomic Cena.
Yes, call out everybody.
Oh, my God. It was great. Max Caster, you are truly a gem.
So this match didn't turn the way I thought it was going to for the fact of injury. But it was a turn on the partner.
I think it was. That's exactly what it was. Lee, I think, was finally tired of Strickland's bullshit. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so, what did he do? He walked away. Granted, a thing that Desario and I pointed out is, we think he could be huge if they actually built him to fight like a true big man, because this man is huge.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So I think if you actually build him to be a big, like a true big, maybe hints of, you know, Flash here and there, but build him to be a big, he could be
a
great
star.
Also, a heel turn would benefit him as well.
Okay.
Picking up the win, retaining their championships, the Acclaimed. And due to the agreement, Scissor Me, Sister Twisty!
Yes, because I love you.
Oh my God, it was... Yes, I have been dying for that.
You'll never get it again.
Bet I do.
You'll never get it again.
I will eventually get you to do it at least one more time with me. Ever. At some point in the future, I'm going to make it happen again.
Brother Pyro, take us through the main event.
Main event, Jon Moxley defends his AEW World Heavyweight Championship against Maxwell Jacob Friedman, MJF. That was a great match.
It was.
It hit every point that it needed to hit. It told the story that it needed to tell. And you can tell...
There were a couple botches when they went on the ringside.
I personally think the lack of crowd moment...
Momentum, yeah.
If you paid attention to the show, you can tell, like, most of the crowd was burnt out by the main event.
This is why you can't do 13 matches back-to-back, Tony Khan.
This is why you should not have, like, a 4 or 5 hour pay-per-view.
But, you know, what do we know as wrestling fans?
I mean, any smart wrestling company listens to its fans, and your fans have been telling you time and time again, we're burnt the hell out. Not really giving a lot of responses, not really being invested in what you're trying to do because there's just no energy there. I do think that when they did start losing the crowd, they did a good job of reeling them back in.
Yes.
Something interesting that happened.
Bring us through it.
Going into the closing moments, you see MJF getting ready to use that dynamite diamond ring.
Yes.
Regal comes down and is yelling at him not to do it. That if he wants to be the champion, he needs to do it legit. Twisted. What is the greatest trick that the devil ever pulled?
He brought William Regal.
No. The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was making sure the world didn't know he existed.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened? We saw the true devil. we saw the person behind the real devil, and it wasn't MJF. It was Mr. William Regal. And Desario and I talked about this. When has Regal really ever been a face? Note it, it's never happened. Regal has never been a good guy, and that's part of the reason it took me a minute to get behind Blackpool Combat Club.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, you know, at first, you know, he's chied to a lot of these guys just because of their time in WWE. Mentor role. That's what this is. That's what this is. That's all it is. Then they truly establish them as a heel faction. I was like, or as a face faction. I'm like, all right. What?
Because any of the men in Blackpool Combat Club can be faces.
Oh, they are all faces.
Yes.
So to see Regal aligned with that did throw me off a bit. And I was like, all right, I'm going to give it a chance.
Mm-hmm.
The devil's true colors.
Were shown.
Regal slides MJF those brass knuckles that he has used time and time again himself throughout his career. Walking out of Newark, New Jersey, your new AEW World Heavyweight Champion, the person that the crowd wanted to see along, MJF, is now your champion. Something, again, we all wanted. I am happy to see it. I am excited to see what goes on with this title reign. And I need to see what happens with this aftermath between Regal and Moxley. The rest of the combat club, but mainly Moxley.
Oh, yeah.
Because Regal really screwed him.
Oh,
yeah. And it was great.
It was absolutely beautiful. I have no words for this match. For how actually amazing it was.
I want to point out, Desario, good on you for, you know, calling that before we got to that match.
So shout out there.
Oh yeah, because me and him were talking and he was even telling me, he's like, this is what I think Regal's actually going to cost Mox the championship. Why? Because he's never been a good guy.
And now we have it.
I'm excited.
All right, guys, that is the end to Full Gear. Again, we are sorry that this drags on, but we try to give you as much content with it as we can. However, again, Tony Khan doesn't know how to take a good pay-per-view and shorten it from 5 long hours to 2.5, maybe 3 at most. So we apologize.
But all right, enjoy the rest of your guys' holiday. We will see you. I will see you again for Survivor Series.
Yep. Laters, guys.